What we'll look at today is, how do we honor God and family? Where does our first identity fall? And what can that look like today? The passages can be challenging, but I hope by the end of the day we'll have a better understanding of them. There's something about family. There's something about flesh and blood that you just have a common understanding, a common sense of humor. Maybe it's in how you walk, how you speak, how you laugh. I was walking up the lumberyard one time and someone stopped and they said, "Are you Doug's son?" It's like, yeah. Like, I didn't know who this guy was. And he said, "You walk just like him." And there was a time my brother and I, we lived together, and I think it was only once or twice my mom confused us on the phone. We don't hold that against her. So I want to start off with a story about the Jim twins. Anyone familiar with the Jim twins? Maybe as I read, you'll remember. This comes from All Things, allthat'sinteresting.com. It's also on MSN. If you're bored and you want to look up YouTube, you can go to Johnny Carson, May of 79. You gotta listen to just one minor detail. James Jim Lewis of Lima, Ohio, was adopted in 1940, just 3 weeks after he was born. He was named James by his adoptive parents, and he had a dog named Toy. As a schoolboy, he enjoyed math and carpentry, but never spelling. He went on to marry a woman named Linda. Later, he and Linda divorced, and he married a woman named Betty. He had a son named James Allen, 1L, worked as a security guard, drove a Chevrolet, and was an avid chain smoker. James Jim Springer of Piqua, Ohio, was adopted in 1940, just 3 weeks after he was born. He was named James by his adoptive parents and had a dog named Toy. As a schoolboy, he enjoyed math and carpentry, but never spelling. He went on to marry a woman named Linda. Later, he and Linda divorced, and he married a woman named Betty. He had a son named James Allen, 2 L's, worked as a deputy sheriff, drove a Chevrolet, and was an avid chain smoker. So here you have these two boys that are adopted at 3 weeks old. They're twins. And one of the adoptive families go in to finalize the paperwork, I think it was about a year and 4 months later, if I recall correctly. And she hears someone in the back say, the other family named their boy Jim. And it stuck with her. So here these men live 45 miles apart from each other, both married twice to women of the same name. They both vacationed in Florida on the same beach. And they had all of these, both their favorite colors were blue. Their hobby, both of them, they built little furniture for dolls. And it wasn't until 40 years later, because the one's mother told him, "I think you have a brother," that they met. And isn't it interesting how family traits can be passed down? I laughed one time in a shop around this time of year down in Willow Street, and the shop owner stopped dead in what she was doing and looked at me. And she said, "Are you a Milan?" I said, "Well, my mom was." She said, "You laugh just like Rick." Rick had died that year. And so it stopped her in her tracks. You know, you can, if you people watch this, especially this time of year, if anyone goes to the mall instead of ordering it online, and you watch people, you can watch mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, they walk similarly or they carry themselves similarly. There's something that can't be replaced with flesh and blood. You know, it could be a career path or a passion. They both smoke the same kind of cigarette as well. And the funny thing about cigarettes and smoking, we'll say, when you could smoke in restaurants, if we were sitting on opposite ends, if someone was smoking on the other end and my buddy smelled that smoke, he'd be like, "Ah, oh, someone's smoking." A number of people in my family smoke, so when I would smell that, I'd be like, "Smells just like Grandpa's house." You know, secondhand smoke will kill you. I'm like, I'm just taking it in. But we have those memories, we have those thoughts. You know, so when we read these passages, at first it can be hard to take. And there are definitely things from our families we want to continue. If our family's perseverant, we want our kids to follow things through to the end. We want them to stick it out. You know, there are good things within qualities that we want to pass to our children. But then there are those things in families that we don't want to pass to our children. Chains that we want to break. Maybe it's smoking, maybe it's drinking, maybe it's abuse. Maybe it's the way we communicate. Does any other family have issues communicating? No. So, Jesus' family comes to him and one of his disciples says, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are looking for you." And what's interesting is at this point, his bloodline is outside of the house and his disciples are inside. And he says, "Who are my mother and brothers and sisters but the ones who do the will of the Father?" Now, if you have questions about the will of the Father, I would suggest you go to Matthew chapters 5-7 and just chew on that forever. Because when we follow Jesus, everything else in our life is redefined. So he wasn't dishonoring his mother and his brothers, but he was honoring God first. When we decide to follow Jesus, our family relationships can be changed. They can be altered. And is it interesting, just a chapter later, he goes back to his hometown. His sisters are there. The commentator believes that they married men there. And he's teaching in the synagogue. And it says, in their synagogue. This would be the temple that he grew up in, but it was their synagogue. You know, it's kind of like going back to a family church. That's grandma's church, or that's Uncle Joe's church, or whatever. He goes back to the synagogue. And he begins teaching, and they're like, where does he get all this stuff? You know, isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't this what he should be using? And they look at him with contempt. Now, I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but when you follow Jesus, and you begin to recognize that there might be patterns in your life that need to change, that there might be patterns in your family's life that need to be changed, you get some pushback. Are you better than us? You think you know better than us? You don't know better than us. Who are you? It can be a tense time. And what's interesting is Jesus understands that. And it's not the end. You know, we have the letters of James and Jude. These are the two of his brothers named. They're his family. They ended up following him. They ended up recognizing that there was something greater at play than just their older brother being right all the time. I'm the oldest, so it's true. No. So then we go a few chapters more. And a rich young man comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he says, "Follow these commandments And the young man says, I've done all these since youth. And Jesus looks at him and loves him. And he says, one thing you lack. Sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the man walks away heartbroken because he was wealthy. A relative of mine said, the more things you own, the more things own you. And so the disciples are looking at this, they're watching this, they're hearing this. And Peter says, Jesus, we left everything. What will there be for us? Now we can read that in the best of lights, like, man, that is a really humble question, Peter. But it may not have been. Remember, the disciples would often argue who was the greatest. And so Peter might have heard this and been like, Jesus, we've left everything. So, I'm not saying it, but I mean, our reward should be awesome, right? And what's interesting, there is an eternal and a present reality. He says, when I sit on my throne, you will sit on 12 thrones. And that's some end time stuff that I'm not going to get into right now. If I'm going to be honest, I don't fully understand. But then he goes on to say, everyone who has left home or brothers or sisters or father or mother or child or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much. Now notice what's missing in that list. Spouse. He doesn't say spouse. Some of the disciples were married. And they would either go away for a time and then return home, or their wives would travel with them. It's not like we can be like, well, honey, it's been a long run, but I've decided to follow Jesus. So that's not at all it. But I want us to acknowledge something here. You know, when we walk, we may have a certain gait. When we speak, we may hear our parents every once in a while. Sometimes that scares us. Where did that come from? When we follow Jesus, His mark, His Holy Spirit, His very presence is within us. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 says, now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. The very presence of God lives within each and every person who follows Jesus. So that means when people see you, they should see Jesus. They will see Jesus. And you will be recognized by the Spirit that lives in you. Notice that when they come, He says, my brothers and sisters and my mother are here. A commentator I read said that more than likely there were female disciples sitting in that crowd. And this isn't anything new. In Acts 11, they were first called Christians in Antioch because they had recognized that those people had walked with Jesus. And they are brothers and sisters. Jesus calls His disciples brothers and sisters. Do you understand the gravity of that? Jesus considers His followers siblings. That is hard for me to grasp. That the Creator of everything, in whom all things hold together, considers us brothers and sisters. And even Paul, who wrote the Corinthian letter, the first time he met a believer that he wasn't persecuting was when he had lost his sight and went to Ananias' house. And Ananias is like, I don't want to touch that guy. I know what that guy does. He persecutes people. Why? Don't bring him to my house. God ever ask you to do something to make you feel uncomfortable? But Paul comes, Saul comes. And when Ananias prays over him, the first word out of his mouth is brother. Brother Saul. You see, our family lives are transformed when we follow Jesus. We have siblings all over the world. The first time we did Love Feast, the first time Jen and I did Love Feast here, participated, it was with Alpha and Omega. And we're with our Spanish brothers and sisters. A couple weeks ago, Everett Berry was baptized by one of our Baptist brothers and sisters down in Virginia. Same spirit. Right now, Deb and Taylor are in Asia with our brothers and sisters over there. Same spirit. People will begin to recognize you, that you've walked with Jesus. They'll see the family resemblance. When we follow Jesus, it reshapes our relationships. It doesn't mean that we walk away from our families necessarily. It doesn't mean that we give up on them. Jesus did not give up on his siblings. We know at least a couple of them followed after him. They were leaders in the early church. It just means that sometimes we need to set different boundaries or live in different ways. So as we think about these passages this week, as we think about our family line and Jesus' family line, my prayer for you is that as you go, you will resemble the one who lives inside of you, that his spirit will shine through and people will see the resemblance and say, you follow Jesus, or you seem different. What do you have? You ever have someone approach you? Sometimes you tell them, well, I started following Christ, or I've been growing in my faith, and they'll initially push back. Well, we were hoping for something else. Medication, maybe. You mean I have to change the way I live? It's hard, but it's worth it. And when people look at you, they begin to see the family resemblance. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for our brothers and sisters here. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Temple Hills, Maryland, in Vietnam, in China. We thank you that we can gather here together to be transformed, renewed, redeemed by your Holy Spirit, all because Jesus came to us as a babe. Emmanuel, God with us. Let us go this week and resemble the one we follow. Amen.
We hope the message you've just heard has brought you closer to Jesus. If it has, or if you'd like to learn more about God or about His Word, the Bible, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at area code 717-898-0181, or you can email us at office@hemfieldcob.org. If you happen to be in the Lancaster or Mannheim area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings. You can find details and directions at hemfieldcob.org. And now, from all of us at Hemfield Church of the Brethren, we'd just like to wish you and yours a wonderful and blessed week.